The Front Row Show does not reflect the views of Utah State, Utah State Athletics, or its affiliates.
I'm going to make my decision by where I feel the most comfortable and where I feel like home at. So I'm going to be going to...
And at this time, I'm going to pick a school I'll be going to.
You can see that I'll be going to...
After much discussion and prayer, I have decided to attend...
For the 2013 football season, I decided to pick my town, Utah State University.
Utah State.
Utah State.
I'm going to Utah State.
The Utah State.
What's up, Utah State fans? Welcome to the Front Row Show's Signing Day Spectacular. As always, we are your hosts. I'm Matt Sonnenberg.
I'm Josh McDonald.
And I'm Jeff Browning. Today was like Christmas and a birthday all rolled into one. I got up at like 5 a.m. and was checking my Twitter
already.
Or
Hanukkah.
Or Hanukkah, if you...
You got way more.
We appeal to all audiences here.
We don't discriminate at all. Welcome to the Signing Day Podcast, as Matt said. We're going to break down Utah State's 2013 signing class. First off, just... Guys, your general thoughts on the signing class as a whole and the job that Matt Wells did in sealing this class up?
First thing for me is that you look at the teams that we went against for a lot of these recruits, and it was much more high-profile teams than we're used to. You know, I remember a few years ago, there was a recruit, I believe it was Chris Fox was his name, and It came down to us and Nevada. And at the time, with them being, you know, one of the better teams in the WAC, this was a big get for Utah State. Now, rather than going against like other WAC teams, you know, more often than not, we were going against lower level WAC teams and lower level Mountain West teams. Now we're going against quality BCS programs and pulling in some of these recruits. I mean, with that in mind, I mean, not to mention that these kids want to be here. They're going to come in and hopefully work hard. I'm stoked on this class.
Sorry, I think that, you know, in Matt Wells, we trust. And I think that Matt did a really good job We all know the situation. He was kind of thrown into the fire. He had a lot of needs to address with this team, and I think he did a really good job addressing needs that we had. And, you know, we'll do a position-by-position breakdown, see who we got, how they're going to fit in, and what we can expect from the 24 guys who sent in letters of intent today.
To kind of show you how good of a job Coach Wells did with this recruiting class, I was talking with a guy who is a fan of Wisconsin, who we hate and wish a terrible, horrible death to. But he was telling me that after Brett Bielema left to go to Arkansas, that they lost a lot of their commits, and their new coach kind of had to build that back up. Matt Wells came in and didn't skip a beat. In fact, he didn't really lose anyone. And he kept the class together. And not only kept it together, but he improved the class as well in some key areas that we're going to break down now. Let's start on the
offense. Just for the record, I don't personally hate Wisconsin. You know, yeah, they stole a great coach, but man, they're a good team.
We
almost had them, and we're going to get them again.
We hope you die a painful death.
Plus, we got Marvin
Go Black
Evans.
Guys. Let's start on the offensive end. Quarterbacks. Utah State signed Daryl Gerritsen, 6-foot quarterback, out of Chandler, Arizona High School.
Yeah, I talked to Daryl on the phone, actually. Gave him a call and kind of tried to gauge his impression of the recruiting process, of his expectations coming into Utah State. He's really excited about Logan. He loves the community, loves the fan support. I asked him a little bit about who he tries to pattern his game after. He mentioned, you said he's 6 feet tall. He mentioned Russell Wilson and Drew Brees. The success that they've had is undersized quarterbacks. Not to say that he's going to live up to all pro quarterbacks right off the bat. I mean, he's 18 years old, but he's really excited. He's excited about the opportunity to come in and compete, in camp and just ready to show Aggie Nation what he's capable of doing. And he was the Arizona Gatorade Player of the Year.
Plus, if you've seen video on this kid, has a golden arm.
Yeah.
I mean, he puts the ball where it needs to be with some zip. Looks like an exciting player.
Passed for 3,065 yards with 27 touchdowns, just 6 interceptions. And he's got a tremendous quarterback to learn from in Chucky Keaton. Great get for Utah State. At running back, Rashad Hall, 6'1", 205 running back out of Lynchburg, Virginia, and Contra Costa College. Looks to be an impact player. Highly rated. Was recruited by Colorado as well. You got to love what this guy brings.
Yeah, you know, you look at some of the teams recruiting him out of high school. Cal was on there, I believe. You know, a handful of decent programs that really make him look like he could be a very good player for us.
Recruited out of high school by California, Nevada, Oregon, and Washington out of high school.
So there you go. And, you know, I feel there's another guy in the past that had a little bit of ties to Oregon that stuck to Utah State. I think his last name was Turbin or something.
Sounds familiar.
So, I mean,
I've heard of
him. It could work out all right. In his case, you know, he's a bigger guy. Based on his video, it doesn't look like he has the most top-end speed, but video can be deceiving at the same time. And I think we could see some good things from him.
Yeah, he comes in and adds to a deep backfield with Joe Hill. I mean, Joey DiMartino, you look at Robert Marshall as well. Don't forget Kelvin Lee as well in the backfield. This is a solid running back core, and he adds to it. I mean, he rushed for 1,402 yards and 16 touchdowns.
Another guy coming in that I actually had a chance to talk to, freshman running back, Karis Johnson.
A man of many words.
A man of not that many words, but you know what? I think he might have been a little bit busy during the interview, but still took the time, which we appreciate. This dude's got some speed. You see his video. He's just blowing guys away. He's got kind of a long stride, which is something you might need to fix up, but I mean, he's young. Obviously, plenty of time to refine plenty parts of his game. What we see is good size, good speed, just racks up numbers. When I asked him, was the first thing that stood out to him about coming to Utah State, he said the offense. You know, that he's seen what Coach Wells has done. They showed that to him, the results that he's been able to produce in Wells' 2 years here so far, and he wants to be a part of it. Also knows that he's got some big shoes to fill in Kerwin Williams, but said if he works hard, he thinks he can make some good things happen. And really like the community as well in Cache Valley. It feels like it's very sports oriented. The kind of the whole town turns out for their team. So excited to have this kid on board.
He had over 2,000 all-purpose yards his senior year. He also runs track for his high school, the 100 meter and the 200 meter. Those are the speed races. Like you said, the man has breakaway speed. He was also recently named by the local newspaper there as one of the 20 best high school players in the Bay Area. And like you said, I mean, he was recruited by California and Colorado State as well. I mean, we beat out a Pac-12 and a Mountain West team for his services. He's going to be a great get for Utah State, and Aggie Nation should be extremely excited about, you know, running back you that we're now becoming.
Well, and we know what kind of talent comes out of California, and this kid was number 6 in the state of California in both touchdowns and yards as a senior. So, I mean, going up against that kind of competition in high school to yield that kind of result is definitely very promising, and I think we have a lot to look forward to with him.
I think, just on a note, the linebackers might have a thing to say about what position we are. Just throwing that out there.
Moving to the wide receiver position, and this may be one of the positions where we see the most immediate impact from this class this year. We start with Ronald Butler, 6 foot, 190-pound receiver out of Contra Costa Community College. If that sounds familiar, that's because our running back Rashad Hall also was his teammate.
Yeah, video on this guy is thrilling. You know, we lose a couple big play, great receivers in Matt Austin and Chuck Jacobs. This guy looks to be the front runner to step right in and really just kind of pick up where they left off. He's fast, he's big, he can make plays. Looks like an all-around stud in the making.
Yeah, I think he, based on the video that I've watched thus far, Ronald Butler is my favorite player of this signing class. I mean, he's a human highlight reel. He scored 13 touchdowns this season at his junior college, which is incredible. And watching his film, it seemed like every other catch was a touchdown. I mean, he was beating people for deep balls. He was getting yards after the catch. He could do a little bit of everything. And really, I think, like you said, is going to be able to step in and fill the shoes of some of the guys we've lost this year.
He was recruited by Iowa State as well, Middle Tennessee and Western Kentucky, and also was receiving interest from Texas, not Texas State, the University of Texas, the big school. It shows the type of player that he is, but also it's exciting that he wasn't willing to wait around for a Texas offer. You know, he wanted to come to Utah State. He saw a fit here, and he's ours. And, Josh, I think, like you said, he's a human highlight reel, and plenty of Utah State highlights on YouTube will have him in it. Ryan Watson, another junior college wide receiver, comes to us from Golden West College.
And Ryan's another guy I had the opportunity to talk to the phone, talk with on the phone. He's originally from Alabama. He actually went to high school very near Julio Jones, and he says that Julio's a guy that he's looked up to, kind of watched his progress through playing at Alabama and then going on to be in the NFL and play for the Falcons as a guy that he tries to pattern his game after. He's a great athlete. He is also one of those track guys. At his junior college this year, their starting quarterback was hurt. So he stepped in, he played quarterback, he played wide receiver, he played, corner as a defensive back, and he also returned kicks and punts. And so this guy is just a very versatile athlete. Mm-hmm. Look for him to possibly, we saw Tay Glover Wright, who actually played at the same junior college as Ryan, come in and do some kind of wildcat packages this last year. I think we could look and expect the same out of Ryan this year. He's going to be another guy that we can keep an eye on.
And if there's one thing we've learned about kids from the South, those kids can burn.
Yeah.
They are fast.
Yeah.
Continuing on in the wide receiving core, we have Hayden Wickers. Now, I had the chance to talk to Hayden briefly, and I loved what I heard from Hayden. He decommitted from BYU, which instantly makes him a hero.
Love him.
Fan favorite.
Absolute hero amongst Utah State fans. And I talked with him a little bit about the recruiting process with that, and he said he always kind of felt at home at Utah State. And while, yeah, he kind of had the dream to play for BYU growing up in a BYU family, he just felt more at home here at Utah State. And when I asked him what his greatest attribute was as a wide receiver, stone dead voice said, "I don't drop the ball." Gotta love a wide receiver who doesn't drop the ball.
Well, and if you've seen his video, this kid is lightning quick.
Yeah.
I mean, you watch those videos and those highlights against some other guys. I remember there was one highlight of him in the state playoffs where he's going for a deep ball. And, you know, you see a guy that's like kind of keeping up with him, but not really. And I looked up the guy's number. He was an all-state, first-team all-state DB.
This is a big get.
And even Hayden's blowing him away. So he got some definite star potential
and not just
in the wide receiver position.
Not just his speed, but Coach Wells in the press conference today noted his route running.
Yeah.
And that is something that, I mean, you can be as fast as lightning as a receiver, but if you can't run a crisp route, then you're not going to get open. And so that's going to be a big thing as well.
Yeah, and it represents the fact that Utah State stole one of BYU's own and not just, you know, gave BYU a little punch to the gut, but an uppercut knockout, because Hayden is a big, big get for Utah State. The last wide receiver we want to talk about is Tyler Fox, 5'11", from Layton High School. Could possibly potentially be a position switcher as well, but the kid's an athlete and brings a lot to Utah State on either side of the ball.
Yeah, based on video, like, I know I keep going back to this, but he's a sneaky good athlete. Looks like the kind of guy, I mean, a lot like Hayden Wickers, that could be a good route runner, a good athlete. I haven't seen a chance to really see the blazing speed from him, but looks like a solid player coming into the program.
And what Coach Wells said about him today, he said he played both ways and is an extremely young, athletic, talented kid. So, like you said, possibly he could play receiver. We could see him at as a DB. He's athletic, and we'll see what he can do.
Moving to the tight end position, Wyatt Houston comes to us from Horizon Christian High School in Oregon. He's actually the first athlete in his high school to ever sign a Division I scholarship. I talked with Wyatt on the phone. He was so excited about becoming a Utah State Aggie. I asked him about the coaching switch again and kind of how that played into his mind, and he said if Coach Wells wasn't hired, he might have gone elsewhere, but he knew Coach Wells, and Coach Wells sold him on the program as a whole, and he's going to be an absolute stud, kind of in a Kellen Bartlett type of mold to me.
Another thing about him is he played quarterback in high school as well. So, I mean, if we ever end up in a pinch, hopefully not, obviously, but could be a guy that we could see taking some emergency snaps, not unlike Devontae Glover Wright did this past season.
Right.
Yeah, he was also recruited by Oregon State, Washington State was showing interest. So, I mean, Utah State beat out Pac-12 schools for his services.
Well, not to mention, we know how important the tight end position is in this offense,
yes.
Both in a blocking standpoint, he's got the size to do that, and his pass catchers. You know, we saw Kellen Bartlett made an impact 2 years ago in the Potato Bowl. Terron Lloyd had a touchdown catch and ended up, you know, signing an NFL deal briefly. So tight end is an important position for Matt Wells' offense, and it looks like we got a good one here.
Moving to the offensive line, we start with Joe Malanga from Bingham High School, joining his teammate Hayden Wickers here at Utah State.
This dude is jacked. He is muscular, and he's athletic. He can move. He's strong. Really just kind of perfectly fits the profile of what our offensive linemen are these days. They want them to be, you know, mobile guys that can get downfield and get into the second level and block linebackers. I think this kid could be an absolutely tremendous get, maybe long-term, possibly one of the best of this class.
I was going to talk about his athleticism, and that's what Coach Wells today really brought that out. He said, pound for pound, Joe is one of the best athletes in the class. He said, that's not usually something that you say about offensive linemen, but the kid is really, really athletic. And so you can't fault that.
No, and another thing Coach Wells said that I thought was impressive is he said, he has really good footwork. And for a high school lineman to come in and for the coach to say he has really good footwork just shows what type of player he is. And not often do you get that compliment from the head coach. Tyshawn Mosley comes from Jordan High School, highly touted offensive lineman, was getting a lot of interest late from the Pac-12. Again, you know, Washington State, Washington was showing interest in him as well. But he's ours. Another solid addition to the offensive line.
Yeah, his size, you look at him, 6'5", 305. That's pretty much dead on with a handful of other guys that we have on our roster. I mean, I know out of curiosity a while back, I looked at comparing Eric Schultz and his size to a guy I played with in high school, Zane Beatles, who just made the Pro Bowl for the Denver Broncos. Just kind of see how they stacked up. And they're both right in that same range. So, I mean, if Tyshawn Mosley's coming onto campus with that size, add a little muscle to that frame, could be a very, very good offensive lineman for this team.
Does anyone know what a pancake is?
It's where you knock someone right on their butt.
Okay, he averaged 14 pancakes a game this past year in high school.
That is not too shabby.
And both of these guys are Utah kids. And so, I mean, if you want to, I guess, throw a bone to Coach Wells and his recruiting, he's staying in state. He's getting the talent that we have. And we'll see that as we continue to talk about some of these other guys.
And it's that first-tier talent, too. This is the talent that everyone else wanted, you know, rather than finding these diamonds in the rough, which credit to the coaching staff of years past for doing that. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what they can do with these guys that are coming in with an already, you know, pretty detailed canvas to work with.
Cody Boyer, 6'6", 262-pound lineman from Pineview High School in St. George.
This is another guy with good size. You know, I'm starting to sound like Mel Kiper out here projecting these guys. But
go, Mel, go.
From a smaller school.
But you can't
predict
linebackers.
Can't predict, well, obviously not. Yeah, Bobby Wagner lacks instincts. Good one, Mel. But Cody Boyer, 6'6", 262. You know, with these high school kids, a lot of these guys are 17 years old still.
Yeah.
Tons of time to put on muscle this frame. I assume the bulk of these guys are going to redshirt next year because there's already a handful of young offensive linemen on the roster from the last couple signing classes, and we return all five starters on the O-line. It's going to be a good opportunity for a few of these guys to redshirt, put on some muscle, and I think Cody Boyer could be one of those ones to benefit possibly the best out of all of them.
Two more offensive linemen, I guess, return to Utah State. Andrew Chen, 6'3", 260-pound from Chaminade College Prep, adds even more depth to the offensive line.
Yeah, another guy that the redshirt year could do him well. Obviously, 260 pounds. It's a little bit light for where the linemen are at this point. You obviously want to be more in the 280-plus range, but you know, I'm starting to think one of these guys has got to end up as the successor at center as well. So, I don't know for sure if he's going to end up being that guy. But once again, this is a guy that committed last year and, you know, had to get some things in order and now counts as part of this class. So, another guy that should be a good addition to the program.
Brandon Docaho? Docaho? Is that how you say it?
I'm thinking Taukiaho.
Taukiaho. All right. 6'4", 340-pound offensive lineman from Bingham High School, returns from a mission. You got to love a Bingham pipeline that's coming to Utah State.
It's a deep pipeline at this point. There's a whole lot of players coming from there, and, you know, why not? They've been an incredible high school program the last few years. We've already got a handful of guys on our roster from there. We're adding a couple more. I mean, two of which are playing offensive line next year. Size isn't an issue with this guy.
No.
He's at the 6'4", weighing 340. And I guess there's a chance we could see him possibly slimming up a bit to get that weight down to a different level. But also, I mean, if you've got that in a guard position to kind of anchor that O-line in the middle, could be a valuable asset. If he gets his weight down around maybe like 325 and can still move, maybe add some agility with that, I think we could have a solid player. And again, with these mission guys, there's always that extra maturity that they bring with them. I mean, you look at it, three of our five starters last year were returned missionaries in Kyle and Kevin Wimpy and Eric Schultz. So it's kind of something that, especially at this position, I think goes a long way.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing, we just talked about five different offensive linemen. Coach Wells today, I hate to keep going back to his press conference, but he's the best source of information we've got. So he said, we're a little top-heavy at offensive line. Yes, we're returning five starters, but they're all upperclassmen, and so we're going to be losing these guys in the next couple of years, and so we need to start filling that void. We need to start developing backups, putting weight on some of these smaller guys, giving them experience, letting them learn the offense, and develop them within the football team to continue going forward in the future.
And you really can never have too many big nasties on the offensive line. Moving to the defensive side of the ball, we start off with Ricky Aliofua.
Yeah, this is another guy, another return missionary, who is back, actually from Gary Anderson's initial signing class. So kind of interesting. He was a part of the first signing class for the last two Utah State head coaches. Comes back. He's a defensive end, 6'3", 275 pounds, from California. I mean, it's one of those things where don't really know a ton about him. He's been gone for quite a while, and boy, has quite a lot changed while he was out there. But with that size, I mean, you got to think he's going to have some serious potential to be a run stuffer from the defensive end position. Not going to be, you know, getting pushed back a lot and kind of occupying blockers to create some opportunities for outside linebackers, which is crucial in the 3-4 defense.
And you look at him to replace someone like a Javier Lasicki, who, you know, graduated this past year. He was the only defensive end that we signed. Moving to the linebacking core, the big one, Keelon Hollis.
Speaking of those guys that might be coming off the outside linebacker spot going after the quarterback.
6'2", 235, from Bakersfield College, and also high school teammate of our very own Chucky Keaton.
This is the way I view Keelon Hollis is the successor to Bojay.
Yeah.
He's big, should be fast, strong, should just wreak havoc out there on the outside linebacker spot. I mean, this is one of those ones where he could be an immediate impact guy and possibly an absolute star next season.
Yeah, he's very versatile. He could, you know, plug in at that outside linebacker. He could get down in a 3-point stance and be a pass rusher on a defensive end. He can move around. He's got the athleticism. He's got the size to really plug into the defense and be really successful.
68 tackles, 52 of them solo, and 16 and a half sacks at the linebacker position. Impressive.
Have fun, Mountain West QBs.
Moving to the defensive backfield, another guy that was highly recruited, and he may be another fan favorite just for the simple fact that he picked Utah State over Wisconsin, Marwin Evans comes to us.
Well, not only that, he also picked Utah State over another school that a lot of USU fans aren't fond of, Kansas State, who a few years ago, before he played them in the NCAA tournament, were, as I remember, not the most pleasant to deal with. So it's one of those double barrel middle finger kind of things going on.
This is one of those heavy hitters where you beat not only a Big Ten program and a very good Big Ten program in Wisconsin, but also a program that just came off the Fiesta Bowl in Kansas State of the Big 12.
Well, and Wisconsin was in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, this is, if you want to talk about hitting a home run and going against the big boys, this is exactly what he represents.
Well, not to mention the fact, again, I talked to Marwin on the phone. He's originally from Wisconsin, and he said he didn't want to go back there. His recruiting process was a little bit interesting. He was kind of turned off to Utah State when Coach Anderson left. He wasn't really sure. But Coach Wells stepped in immediately, got in touch with him, and he got in touch with Marwin's mom. And that was actually a big help in landing Marwin in Logan. Was Coach Wells really won his mom over and said, you know, this is a program where your son can do really well. We've got a great community that's going to support him. And Marwin looked at it. He said, and this was interesting, especially considering the other offers he had. He said, I looked at Utah State as the best opportunity for me to go to the NFL. And that, I think, was a great statement about him.
Apparently, he's heard about our boy, Will Davis.
And good for him. And it's kind of funny. Out of all the defensive backs that I look at, I feel Evans might be the most likely to contribute at safety next mm-hmm. year with his size. Obviously, the void of McCade Brady yeah. leaving at free safety. I think Brian Sweet's got strong safety on lockdown for the time being. Evans could have a chance to go in that free safety spot and just wreck havoc.
And Coach Wells said that he's got the coverage skills of a corner, but the body of a safety. And this is going to sound familiar to a lot of Aggie fans because the Seahawks have a lot of DBs that fit that mold. They're bigger bodied. They have some of the biggest corners in the NFL, and he can kind of fit that mold, and his potential is through the roof.
Hopefully an interception machine waiting to happen. I said it minutes ago, but once again, have fun, Mountain West quarterbacks.
Another player looking to fill the void of Will Davis is Jeremy Morris, 5'11", from Mesa Community College.
Chandler High School, again, representing an Aggie Nation. That makes four total players that are on the team from Chandler High School, where my mom attended. So, shout out there.
Shameless plug.
But Jeremy Morris is another guy committed, you know, it seems like right around bowl season, if I remember right, and stayed true to his commitment. Took a visit after that and, you know, kind of looks to fill that void. Like we said, we lost a handful of good DBs. We lost McCade Brady. We lost Will Davis. We lost Jumaane Robertson. We lost Terrence Alston. So there's a lot to be replaced there. And I like the fact that we're going with only a couple junior college guys, and we're trusting some of the young guys too, you know, because we've got a few solid players like Liddell Jackson, yeah. Rashard Stewart, Devin Centers had a really good fall camp before redshirting. So I expect him to be in that mix, maybe, looking like a possible nickel cornerback, filling the role of Terrence Alston. But, I mean, Alston was tremendous last year in that role, big part of that defense and what made it really go.
Yeah, and that's the role that Will Davis was two seasons ago. And so, I mean, the ability for these players to grow within the system and really prove themselves and gain spots and become a starter and really – perform on the national stage is there to be had.
Because let's remember, the two guys projected to be our starting cornerbacks next year are both going to be seniors in
right.
Nevin Lawson and Devontae Glover Wright. So naturally, you know, even if he's the number three guy next year, puts him in the driver's seat to really contribute on a big scale as a senior. Who knows, maybe he'll make tremendous strides, much like a Will Davis.
You know what I noticed, guys? We are just taking Washington State to town in the recruiting game. And I bring that up because of our next recruit, the much maligned Myron Turner and his story with Washington State. Myron, clearly, Utah State doesn't treat their own like that.
Yeah, this guy, you know, it's interesting because we don't really know for sure how highly he would have been recruited because he committed kind of early to Washington State and then, you know, had apparently other schools wanting to talk to him. He said, nope, I'm committed to be a Cougar, which... always a bad move.
Yeah, nothing good comes from being a Cougar.
And, turned down these other coaches that wanted to talk to him. And, eventually Mike Leach pulls a total Bush League move, pulls his scholarship offer, 2 weeks ago?
Josh, where did he go to school?
I think he went to BYU.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The other Cougars.
Well, there's all a connection there. Point being, kind of
all
left,
makes sense.
Left Turner kind of out there high and dry in favor of another safety recruit that they wanted to get, who later turned down Washington State on signing day morning and went to Texas. So he basically, Leach lost out completely and burned some bridges in his recruiting ties. Myron Turner ends up getting contacted by the USU staff, took a visit, liked what he saw, and wanted to become an Aggie. And man, I think for one, happy to have him, glad things worked out for this kid, but two, could turn out to be a really good football player, especially with this new, you know, fire I'm sure is lit under him.
I think this is a case where our Texas connection, you know, with the Wellses, particularly Luke Wells and his influence in Texas, this has him written all over it. Coach Wells said, Matt Wells, Myron can play both cornerback and safety. He's always around the football, good instincts and speed to go along with good ball skills. And like we said earlier this week on Monday's show, this is a guy who can really be an ambassador for your program, especially when other high-profile programs come knocking. He could look at him and say, look, I was recruited by the Pac-12, but Utah State has been a tremendous place. You know, that type of effect can have a very wide-reaching effect, not only on but off the field.
Yeah, and he's another guy that's got good size with the ability to add more size, more kind of bulk to his frame. He's got, according to Coach Wells, very fluid feet, which, again, is essential for a defensive back. We talked about Hayden Wickers and his ability to run crisp routes. You need to have really good footwork as a DB to be able to cover those crisp routes, and I think that he's got that.
Moving to special teams, there was only one signing on the special team side, a kicker, Jake Thompson, 6 foot 200 pounds out of Logan High School.
I watched this kid nail a 58-yarder once as a junior in high school, and I was kind of sold at that point. So feeling good about that. His older brother caught some heat for a few missed kicks this past season. But, I mean, you know, my older brother was voted the best senior athlete in his high school class, and I was a bench player. So, you know, it doesn't always have to be relative.
Here, you mentioned Josh's older brother. Here's a statistic that will give Aggie fans a lot of comfort when it comes to Jake Thompson. He never missed a field goal 40 yards and in, not one. And as we can recall, those field goals in question were both under 40 yards. There's a few guys that Utah State signed, but we didn't talk about them. That's because they're going on LDS missions. They get their shout out in two years from the Front Row Show, but they do deserve a mention now.
Yeah, handful of guys. By my count right now, there was five that were announced today as official signees, with a couple more that either are, you know, firm in their commitments and going out on missions and coming back in 2 years, or have some other issues to sort out before they officially sign. But let's run them down. I guess we'll start off with Zach Swenson, a safety from East High School. Good size, looks like good athlete for a DB. Could be a great player. See you in 2 years. Another one, Braden Harris.
This guy is a stud.
Keep an eye on this. Remember this name, because he comes from, you know, a smaller town. I mentioned Cody Boyer as being one of those guys from a small town that could really step up and surprise. Braden Harris could be the torchbearer for this kind of athlete in a couple years. He has great size, good speed, was kind of a do-everything player at his high school. From everything we can gather, should be a monster at linebacker in a couple years. Moving on to defensive line, we have a couple guys that are from Logan High School that were a big part of the 2011 state championship football team, in Caden Anderson and Jacoby Wildman, who I believe are cousins one another, both of whom have great size, both of whom, you know, want to be Aggies, and I think both of whom will be tremendous contributors down the road, and based on their family relation, a story that beat writers are going to love, just because it's one feature story knocked out of the park right there. Moving on, we've got another big tight end. We talked about Wyatt Houston and how crucial he is to possible future success, how crucial the tight end position is. Dax Raymond.
This is a big get.
Straight out of Utah County in the heart of Cougar territory.
Ew.
Great size, great pass-catching ability, was an all-around playmaker in high school. He's coming to the Aggies 6'5", 210 as a tight end. Now, you might see that and think, all right, well, he's a little bit smaller than we like our tight ends, but, you know,
he's got time.
Why not? Yeah, he's got time, and why not have an extra pass catching threat at the tight end spot? Because that's, looking at it, is likely going to be his most standout attribute.
He torched Logan High School in the state playoffs. I mean, just torched him. They could not cover him at all. I mean, they had safeties, they were in nickel packages, and they could not touch this kid. He's incredible, and I found it funny, and as we do to all those who choose Utah State over that school down south, Jay Drew. Yeah. Anyway, he sent out a tweet saying that BYU was expecting Dax Raymond to walk on, but Utah State offered him a scholarship. It's a big get for Utah State. He's going to be a Mission kid, like we said, but he has the size, he has the hands to be an elite weapon for Utah State going forward.
And my understanding is that he's a pretty good basketball player as well, and we've seen plenty of basketball players who have had great successes as football players. I mean, look at Jimmy Graham, even if you want to talk about a tight end for the New Orleans Saints. I mean, the list could go on, but
Robert Turbin could ball, just throwing it out there.
And Matt Austin. I mean, a lot of Utah State players were pretty good basketball players as well.
So rounding out the Mission guys, there's two more that we've heard are solidly committed that were not announced today for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, limits on scholarships, how many letters of intent we can give out this year, but are, from all reports, solidly committed to the Aggies. The first one, John Fakahafua, a wide receiver from East High School, who, again, good size, good speed, could potentially be a guy to change positions in the future. One of those, we'll see where he's at physically in a couple years. He could still grow, obviously, could get faster. You never know what's going to happen with maturity with these guys over 2 years of growth. But another guy that comes from a great high school program coming to Utah State and, you know, has a teammate in Zach Swenson that's going to be here, well, around the same time with him because they're both going on missions. The last one might be the guy whose video really stood out to me the most. I'm not sure exactly how to say his last name.
But I'm not the only one.
Ian Togiai from Hunter High School. This kid is a linebacker, just an absolute monster out there. His video reminded me in a lot of ways of a bigger, faster, stronger Kyle Gallagher, which basically would be a Brian Urlacher, basically. If you're making a comparison there, because Gallagher had a relentless motor, just didn't have the best size, still made an insane amount of plays. I mean, he was second on our team in tackles a couple years back, still would have been, I think, more than Jake Doughty had when he led the team this past year. So Ian looks to be an absolute stud. By numerous recruiting sites, was listed as a 3-star guy, which is a little bit more, well, which has always been rare, but getting less rare for Utah State. Still one of those guys that caught a lot of eyes, looks to be an absolutely tremendous get. So anyone worried that we're going to be thin at linebacker in a couple years?
Not after true.
The Zach Vigils, the Nick Vigils, Tavares McMillans and them graduate. Braden Harrison, Ian Togiai are a couple guys that both could be potential superstars at that spot. Rounding out the Mission guys.
Twitter was made for moments like this. It's the Tweet Sheet. Start off with USU Stats write in, or Nick writes in. And by the way, go visit his site. It's a great site.
If you ever want tons of knowledge on USU basketball,
go to
USUStats.com. You'll learn all sorts of stuff. I reference it all the time.
Who are your top three signees today for the future of Aggie football? And who is the big one that got away? Speaking about the big one that got away, I think we're all pretty unanimous in this. It's Damian Hobbs, who signed with Oregon.
As far as guys that I think are my top three, I look at him, I'm in love with Ronald Butler, the wide receiver. He looks like he's got tons of playmaking potential. Marwin Evans, a defensive back, another guy that could be an immediate, really good contributor. And then maybe a guy that won't get as much of the spotlight, but Joe Malenga, I think, could be an absolute stud of an offensive lineman and maybe one of the anchors of this line in the future.
That's actually my three in order. I think those three guys are gonna build a great future for Utah State.
Don't break the chain, Jeff.
Well, I'm going to break the chain. Going long-term, I think Keelon Hollis at linebacker is a tremendous get. I agree with Marwin Evans at the cornerback. And I'm going to go with Hayden Wickers at wide receiver because he's a freshman and he has time to develop. And, you know, he gets a year of route running, you know, with Chucky Keaton. He's got all the talent. I think he'll be an absolute stud. Nick also writes a follow-up. He says, how long before Karis Johnson sees major minutes on the field? I believe he'll redshirt this year. With the depth at running back, with Joe Hill, Kelvin Lee, I think he'll redshirt this year.
I agree. I think he's got to be a likely candidate for redshirt because we have the Joe Hill with experience. We have the Kelvin Lee who got a decent amount of experience last year. Rashad Hall is JUCO guy. So you have your three deep right there. You're likely three deep. And then guys like Robert Marshall and Joey DiMartino that are experienced on this roster, that have been around for a long time now, that are going to be bringing up the back end. And don't forget Abu Toure, who was another guy that kind of was a decent-looking recruit a year ago who could be in for big things in year two.
Andrew tweets us. He says, is this one of the best recruiting classes on paper, and how do they compare with Chucky's class?
That one, I don't know if it's fair to answer for at least 2 years. Just because you never know how guys are going to pan out. Because, I mean, let's say in 2011, thank heavens this wasn't the case, but let's say Chucky Keaton hadn't panned out like he did now. Are we talking about how great a class that was even still?
Or Will Davis.
Or Will Davis. I mean, and in Will Davis's case, he was pretty good his first year, but he wasn't great until his second season. So it takes a little bit for some of these guys to get acquainted. You never know who's going to end up staying or going. It's really hit or miss. Just kind of got to let time figure it out. On paper, based on who we beat out for some of these guys, though, looks pretty good.
Yeah, hindsight's always 20/20 with recruiting. It's easy to look back at 2011 and say that's a tremendous class, considering the success. But really, we don't really know. On paper, considering the schools we beat out, it's a pretty good class. But again, we'll talk in 2 years. We'll do a show on it, I promise. Ogden Aggie tweets us. He says, which recruits will make the most immediate impact? Not long-term, but just immediately this year.
I think we kind of covered that a little bit with our favorites, because we each had a couple junior college guys. I think definitely Ronald Butler and Ryan Watson at the receiver spots, just because it's a position kind of need at the time being. And then, you know, the defensive backs. Marwin Evans and Jeremy Morris are both going to have tremendous opportunities. As far as who's going to make the most immediate impact, I think Keelon Hollis might be the guy.
Yeah, I'm going to switch things up. I'm going to go with Butler at wide receiver. I think, you know, we have a void there with Matt Austin and Chuck Jacobs leaving. There's a definite need for a wide receiver, especially one with his speed and his size. So I think he will become a prime target for Chucky Keaton.
I think it's absolutely Ronald Butler. I think giving Chucky another year to develop, we saw his progress from his freshman year to this past year. And giving him a weapon like this moving forward, I think, honestly, we could see Ronald Butler score 8 or more touchdowns this season right off the bat. I think that he's going to be an X factor from game one.
Lance tweets us. He says, what does this class represent as far as the long-term future of USU football? Bright.
Very bright. I mean, look at the teams we beat out for some of these guys. That's where we are. I mean, look at where we've been. Just imagine where we're going if we can sustain this success for even one more season, the impact it'll have on next year's recruiting.
I see championships, and I smell roses. Derek tweets in. He says, how does winning some of the recruiting battles we did affect future recruiting? I think it gives you confidence going into these recruiting battles. I mean, you're not going to win every single one. I mean, we saw in the case of Damian Hobbs, I mean, an Oregon comes in and steals him. But we're winning our fair share. Like I said, we made Washington State our personal whipping boy this past, you know, recruiting season. I mean, we beat them for several recruits. We beat Oregon State, which is usually a solid Pac-12. We beat several Big 12 schools, a Big 10 school. We have to have a lot of confidence in recruiting battles going forward.
A huge part of recruiting is relationships and the relationships that are built and the network that's built. A lot of these guys are coming out of powerhouse states. Good programs that are well-known for football, well-known for developing athletes. And, I mean, we talk about teammates of Chucky Keaton in high school, teammates of Devontae Glover-Wright in junior college, and those guys coming to Utah State. That's part of that network being built. And now that network expands even more, and I think that you just continue to get bigger and bigger as the future rolls on.
I think one of the biggest things is the stories that these current recruits will have, because we'll have guys now that took visits to some other places. And, you know, when say someone we're recruiting is also getting recruited heavily by an Oregon State or a Washington State, and they're talking to these guys during their visit and they say, you know, well, yeah, I mean, I thought about going to Oregon State or I thought about Washington State. I never regretted Utah State for a second. Think how much weight that's going to carry. And especially if a guy, say a Myron Turner, who is hosting a recruit that, you know, Mike Leach has made an offer to, You can say to him, I mean, I wouldn't believe that offer until signing day rolls around. Keep your options open.
Yeah,
talking
about ambassadors to the program, that's exactly what we're saying, is these guys in the future.
Got a few more questions here that all came in late in the game, but we got
never too late.
Never too late for the Front Row Show. We got one from Ned, kind of already addressed this, but asked us about all the signees, who makes the biggest impact. These guys said Butler. I said Keelan Hollis. There you go. Got a tweet from Kevilenko. He asks, how much better would this class have been if Gary Anderson was still around?
None.
That one's tough.
That's a good question.
You know, I feel like it would have been about the same. Anderson obviously is a great recruiter, but Anderson also had the questions surrounding him of how long will he be here? Now, in this scenario, all these recruits know Matt Wells is going to be the coach here for probably at least the next 4 years, hopefully a lot longer. But they know who their coach is going to be. There's not this uncertain cloud of, well, is this guy recruiting me going to be leaving soon? I mean, and let's also keep in mind, Matt Wells got some really great players to come here. I mean, like we talked about, Keelan Hollis wasn't even in the picture until, you know, about a week ago, and he comes here and could be one of the biggest contributors next year. Ronald Butler, another guy. So I think it was as good as it would have been.
I think it's absolutely as good as it would have been. I think that Matt Wells had a very big hand in a lot of these guys' recruitment early on, even under the Gary Anderson regime. Him being the offensive coordinator, he had a lot of pull. He had already developed relationships with these guys, and that's why it was so big to have him hired as the successor to what Gary Anderson had built, because the foundation had been laid. He was part of that foundation that had been laid. And like you said, there was so much uncertainty with what was going to happen with Coach Anderson and things like that. We have Coach Wells now, and I think he did a great job. I think that he pulled in a great class.
Last question of the night comes from Steve Schwartzman, the man, the myth, the legend himself. He wants to know how big of an impact that Matt Wells being on Twitter has made and how it really makes National Signing Day more exciting. I think for a lot of people, it was really cool to see our head coach tweeting out the news of these letters of intent coming in. And especially at the end, Marwin Evans kind of left everyone hanging. He was the last one
of
the signees
out
today. We were wondering, is he going to pull a last minute on us? And then it came in and everyone had that refreshed feeling of, all right, we got it done. It's just exciting to... You know, we're all on Twitter, a lot of us at least, and we waste our lives away there just tweeting away often about these sports. So to see our football coach on there talking about it, even interacting a little bit, I think is really cool. It just makes this whole recruiting process a lot of fun. He obviously, until they're signed, can't mention anyone by names, but he can beat around the bush, and even seeing that's exciting.
Well, you watch him, and if you follow his Twitter account, there's a lot of interaction he has with current players. I mean, Chucky Keaton, Tay Glover Wright often tweet him. It just kind of shows that he's in tune with kids these days, social media, and the effect it can have. It definitely made National Signing Day more exciting. I think his Twitter feed is the one I was checking because it's the official feed. You knew your source was going to be reliable. So it's a great thing to have our coach on Twitter.
Well, as always, thanks to everyone for tweeting in. Obviously, you can hit us up at USU Front Row on Twitter. We love hearing them, so don't be shy about doing it for every show, usually Monday nights. But this one was a special edition, so thanks for all your questions.
To close this Signing Day podcast of the Front Row Show, we wanted to bring you a little insight from Greg Wickers. He's Hayden's father, but he also played at BYU. And like we mentioned, there's now a cult following of the Wicker family because of Hayden's choosing Utah State. I talked with him on Twitter, and he offered me a little insight, kind of how the recruiting process works. Mind you, he went through it himself, but he also has heavy ties to the Bingham High School football program. And this is kind of what he shared with me, and with his permission, we're going to share it with you, Aggie Nation. He says, I think the class is awesome. I'm very impressed with the speed, athleticism, and size. I love it. Recruiting is a weird deal. Many times, the stars are way off. Here's a funny item. When Hayden was committed to BYU, he was a top 125 wide receiver, meaning he was one of the top 125 wide receivers in the country. He turned down home visits from Boise, Cal, Arizona, Utah. And now that he's an Aggie, he's dropped to the 287th wide receiver in the country. Stars many times means squat. This class may be under the radar a bit, but I really like the kids I've watched. Every highlight tape of these kids. And no question, we have more skill than BYU and equal to Utah. Boom goes the dynamite.
All right. Greg, bring in the pain. I like it.
Thank you for listening to our signing day podcast of the Front Row Show. We hope you enjoyed it and enjoy all the new Aggies.
Get stoked on it. The coaches can talk about him now, so you might see a little bit of more media coverage on these guys, especially, you know, and also don't forget, there's still room. This is the beginning of the signing period.
There's still more.
There could still be other guys that could take visits during basketball games that could, you know, extend the recruiting process. They might have not felt comfortable making a decision just yet. Still could be other guys join the program, possibly some very good ones. Obviously, you'll hear about it on the Front Row Show.
Guys, guess what starts next month? Spring football! Bring it on.
Can't come soon enough.
For the Front Row Show, I'm Jeff Browning.
I'm Josh McDonald.
And I'm Matt Sonnenberg.
Go Aggies!
Kuypering the shit out of this show.